This is Will Fuller, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here today with the Trash Man. And if you missed yesterday's podcast with our buddy The Siege at The Siege DFS, make sure that you go and download that on Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you listen. I know a lot of you guys just watch this on YouTube where we're streaming right now, but unable to get that one up on YouTube, but it's definitely on the podcast feed. You can listen on rosterwatch.com or anywhere else. Siege, Trash Man, as usual, Siege was absolutely breathing fire yesterday. Do you want to hear some of the just some of the takes?
Well, I know he's all in on Jared Stidham.
All in.
He said I talked about him on my second to the last.
He said that James White is the skeleton key to winning your fantasy league in 2020. I can't even recite that. I think probably the one that was the hottest was his just complete advocacy for taking Miles Sanders over Ezekiel Elliott in 2020 redraft.
Where does the Siege live?
He doesn't live. He doesn't live in Philly. I think he lives in St. Louis nowadays. No, he lives in St. Louis. Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, I like Miles Sanders this season.
But could you ever take him over? He just said last year Ezekiel Elliott only had 71 targets. I said, no, that's awesome. 71 targets on top of the epic groundwork he's going to get. And Siege just thinks that it's going to be the Tony Pollard show. I think Tony Pollard starts to bite in this year. Just okay. Very, very, very cockamamie. our boy Michael Yeager in the 10.
I want to play in some Siege's leagues with the Siege then. If he's gonna take Miles Sanders over Zeke, I'll pick right behind him.
So make sure and listen back to that pod if you get the chance. I'm gonna share the screen here and do a quick simulation using version 2.5 of the rosterwatch.com epic magical cheat sheet. This one's picking from the 8-hole. I don't have 2.5 up yet on the site, but I will be getting it up at some point today after we get the podcast done. The tests have been looking really good for this one. This is from the 8-hole. Again, it's a 12-team league PPR snake draft. And so let's just see what happens here. Derrick Henry on this team. He hasn't been falling to 8 very often, Trash Man. So I definitely enjoy getting him here. And I think I'm going to like this start that I get off to with Derrick Henry and Austin Eckler.
He's a particularly safe running back.
Yeah. Let's see here. We get to Odell Beckham. We'll see here. Maybe we get a couple of wide receivers here at this turn. Yeah, we do, which I love. So starting out with a nice, well-rounded first couple. Byron and I did some restructuring to make it a little bit more well-rounded and less running back heavy
I like running back heavy.
Well, we're about to get another running back here in Jonathan Taylor. And I've noticed that I'm getting him more and more often, Trash Man. And I'm not sure how much I really like it. Speaking of Miles Sanders, it sort of reminds me of maybe that's going to be the track that Jonathan Taylor takes this year. Miles Sanders.
So you're off of Jonathan Taylor now. You were so hot on him.
Not in Dynasty. But I worry a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I was low on him, and I worry a little bit. Like, the market's kind of come to me on it, and that could be something that I need to address. Another guy I don't like really taking here is David Montgomery, but as your running back 4, it would seem to make a lot of sense. And see, Trash Man, as things go along here, we're staying fairly running back heavy because Kareem Hunt, we're going to get him here in the, what, the seventh? Was this the, yeah, pick 7.08. And hopefully the wide receivers will, yes, we'll get Darius Slayton here. So getting those wide receivers early was actually helpful. It makes this team a lot more well-rounded. Looks like Emmanuel Sanders is going to be around here. So we'll continue to backfill these deeper wide receivers. And we'll get another one here in CeeDee Lamb, who I got an argument with Siege about yesterday, saying that he's better than Amari Cooper. Do you agree that that CeeDee Lamb is already better than Amari Cooper the minute he steps in the building?
There's a strong argument for it. I think he's a better athlete.
We're gonna take Jared Cook here, and then at wide receiver, DeSean Jackson, who nobody's talking about, even though all the people in Philly just will keep talking about him. You know, this is absolutely
Alshon Jeffery is a big question mark now.
Yeah, I don't ever think about Alshon Jeffery. We have Anthony Miller and Robbie Anderson ranked back to back here. I wonder if I would, in this situation, whether I would just take Robbie just because I already have a Chicago Bear and David Montgomery, and I just can't see myself rostering more than one Chicago Bear. We usually don't mind you deviating from the sheet by one guy.
I feel like if Nick Foles is the quarterback in Chicago, I think Anthony Miller is going to have a great year out of the slot.
We'll see if that's a possibility or not. And we'll, for the final position here, we'll go with Joe Burrow. So here's how this team looks using the cheat sheet. Followed the rules even when I didn't want to there with Anthony Miller. Picking from the 8-hole in a 12-team league versus basically the ADPs from every site that you would play on. The best ball data from Best Ball 10s and FFPC. We have the team is the quarterback is Joe Burrow. The running backs are Derrick Henry, Austin Ekeler, Jonathan Taylor, David Montgomery, and Kareem Hunt. The wide receivers are Odell Beckham, Calvin Ridley, Darius Slayton, Emmanuel Sanders, CeeDee Lamb, DeSean Jackson, and Anthony Miller. The tight end is Jared Cook. If you follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper, an expert quality draft is guaranteed. The Roster Watch cheat sheet, available now at rosterwatch.com. An expert quality draft is guaranteed. The Roster Watch cheat sheet only at rosterwatch.com. Trash man, Adam Thielen. What the hell do you think of this news? I was looking on Roto World just a little bit earlier, and it was a note mainly about, I believe it was
Justin Jefferson.
Was a note about Jefferson, and talking about how he's going to play in the slot, which makes sense. You know, but with Stephon Diggs gone now, that means that Adam Thielen is going to be playing clearly, you know, a lot more outside. And I don't like Adam Thielen as much outside as I do out of the slot. And if you just, before we got on the podcast, I just went and looked at the numbers from 2018 versus 2019. So 2019, Adam Thielen had 47 targets. And his snap percentage out of the slot was 32%. So 32% snaps out of the slot. We look at the 2019 season. I'm sorry. We look at the 2018 season. Adam Thielen, 149 targets. He played 57.1% of his snaps out of the slot. It doesn't take much to remember that Adam Thielen was wide receiver 7 in PPR leagues in 2018. He averaged 19.2 fantasy points per game, buoyed by the fact that he was in the slot for almost close to 2/3 of his snaps that season. In 2019, when he was only there for less than 1/3 of snaps, Adam Thielen, you know, if you look at just on the season, now he was not healthy for the entire season, and that could have something to do with it, but 8 less fantasy points per game. In PPR last year, I believe he was at 11.4 fantasy points per game, only 47 or 48 targets, depending on where you're looking. Pro Football Focus has him at 47. It looks like Fantasy Data has him at 48. Regardless, it's just a huge fall off from nearly 150 in 2018, and he wasn't in the slot as much. It's a big difference, 32% versus 57.1% of the time. What does this news mean for you about Adam Thielen? Because the fact of the matter is, he's still the number one wide receiver there. He still should benefit from all of the vacated targets
I think that mitigates, you know, him maybe not playing in the slot as much. I mean, he's going to be the who else does he feel safe with in that offense? I mean, is he going to be going to BC Johnson, a proponent at the time? Like, I just don't really see. I mean, he's going to be looking for Thielen regardless of whether he's playing out of the slot or not.
Okay.
So,
but does it worry you that he's just not as good when he's out wide? He's not really. He certainly doesn't look like a proper X wide receiver to me. He doesn't seem like a stretch Z type. Yeah.
Well, either does Jefferson.
Neither does Jefferson. That's why I thought. I did mock Justin Jefferson to the Vikings in my mock draft. But when I was doing it, I was thinking to myself, why am I doing this? This doesn't seem right for them to, you know, this doesn't seem right for them to want to be drafting another slot. It seemed like they should have gone for the Brandon Ayuk or the Jalen Rager, or, you know, well, Ruggs was long gone.
Well, he was gone, but that would have been a good fit.
Yeah. Laquon Treadwell Michael Yeager doesn't Treadwell doesn't he play for the Falcons now, or am I getting that mixed up? Let me look on our lads real quick. Pretty sure. Let's see, our lads Vikings. Let's pull up.
He's a Falcon.
Yeah. Tajay Sharp.
BC Johnson is listed as the third wide receiver
Tajay Sharp is the new Laquon Treadwell in Minnesota.
You think so? I think BC Johnson plays that.
What trash man? What does that even mean? The new Laquon Treadwell in Minnesota.
The guy that they put on the field, but not really throw the ball to him that much. He plays a decoy.
Hey, I have a question I'm going to ask you that, like, no, somebody asked me this yesterday, and it's a theoretical question, but. Are we going to have to start thinking about the fact that, like, guys like Zeke Elliott, he's already had the coronavirus?
What do you mean? Like,
well, I don't understand. If they do have a bunch of testing and stuff during the year, we have no idea how this is going to go, right? How they're going to do it, the testing, like how long you sit out, if guys are out, what it is.
Uh-huh.
The fact that Zeke's going to have it and already be done with it and have those Superman genes going into the season, does that make you more comfortable knowing that you're less likely to lose a week or two out of him or whatever it could possibly be for fantasy football purposes?
Are we literally going to have to start considering that?
I was like, shit.
The COVID factor.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I guess you did see the news. You know, for people who don't know, to down here where we live in Texas, seeing a slight little, I wouldn't call it a spike, but maybe a little bit of a simmer of this stuff going on.
It's a spike.
The Houston Texans.
It's a Memorial Day spike, Day weekend spike.
Well, whatever it is. I've heard it referred to as a spike. I've heard it referred to in some circles as a bit of a smoldering. Regardless, it's just something interesting to keep in mind. There have been some Houston Texans, some Dallas Cowboys, that have come down with it. I just thought it was a really interesting point that somebody brought up yesterday. It's like, as a fantasy analyst, are you going to have to start thinking about that? And I guess at some point, whenever we know more, maybe, but, wanted to get the trash man's take on that. What other NFL news?
That definitely could be a factor.
The other thing I want to talk to you about, Kareem Hunt. He's been going to virtual meetings with the Browns wide receivers. What do you think this means?
It's just more bad news for Odell Beckham Jr.
Why do you hate Odell so much?
I don't like his quarterback. I don't like him in that offense. It's a conspiring of events against Odell Beckham right now.
Odell Beckham's going to come in and remind everybody just that he's still Odell Beckham. I'm not worried about it. I was reading Jay Glazer's mailbag from The Athletic this morning, and that's always a great read for anybody that's like Glazer's, if you read between the lines with some of the stuff he says, you can pick up some good insights from it. But he was just like, somebody asked him like the best athlete he's ever been around or anything like that. He's like, oh, it's no question. It's Odell Beckham, you know, just in workouts, being around him, seeing Odell Beckham's Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
If you sleep on that guy too much, you're going to get hurt eventually.
Maybe Kareem Hunt, maybe it has something to do with Landry and his hip injury. Maybe they're a little bit worried about him being there for the start of the season.
Yeah. Let's see here. Look at this comments. Michael Yeager saying Sharp can play a little more than Treadwell. It sucks in Arizona. We got some people saying fake news. Arizona's the worst state right now.
Texas is the worst state is what he was saying.
I don't know about that. Will Kareem Hunt have a dual position RB/wide receiver in fantasy? No, he'll be a
RB. That's his running back slash kicker.
So he could take over the kicker job too. What's his name? Who's the OU kid that came in with Baker, like Austin Cyphers or whatever his name is? All right. Not really too much other news in those, trash man. Not that I really care about or care to get into. I figure we could just hop into your safest running backs as usual. This was a topic that I really don't give a shit about that was given to us by our search engine optimization and marketing guy. So I don't even really know what safest running backs means. Would you like to give a primer on what that means?
Okay. So what I did, I had I used three, I guess, parameters when considering my safest running backs. And they were first, you know, what did they do last year? Who is their backup? You know, is it somebody that could actually take their job if they were to miss a game or two? And their injury history. So I was considering those three things when talking about, you know, my safest running backs going into 2020. So the first of these, can you guess it? It's pretty obvious.
Christian McCaffrey.
It's Christian McCaffrey. He hasn't missed a game yet.
Do you remember people were saying as a prospect that he wasn't going to be able to hold up? He wasn't going to be able to hold up between the tackles. People were literally fucking skewing David Gettleman for saying that he was one of the best between the tackles runners he'd ever seen in his entire career. People are like, are you kidding? You're going to expect him to do that at the NFL level? And all that. It's just McCaffrey.
Yeah.
McCaffrey
was unexpected.
McCaffrey over the last. Nah, he's a tough kid, man. You get around him like that. That's it. Well,
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I mean, but when you think about other players with similar profiles, who's the closest player you think to Christian McCaffrey and just his player profile right now?
Like Marshall Faulk.
Marshall. Oh, okay. I mean, I think Marshall Faulk's. Is McCaffrey as big as Marshall Faulk was?
Yeah, close.
Okay,
similar enough. McCaffrey's swole, dude. Whenever you're next to McCaffrey, you realize that this isn't some twerp.
Like, most people don't ever get next to Christian McCaffrey.
He's hard to get close to. Hard to get a hand on. Can you believe over the course of the last two seasons, trash man, that Christian McCaffrey's gotten you basically 56.25% of the time, he's gotten you over 25 points in your PPR league. 56.25% of the time.
Harkens back to when LaDainian Tomlinson was running the league.
Do you know what it harkens back to? All the way back to 2019, whenever Kenyon Drake moved to the Arizona Cardinals.
It's true. But Kenyon Drake actually isn't one of my safest running backs.
He has a ton of upside, but he ain't safe, especially now that you're having to take him at the end of the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My next safest running back. Well, and I wanted to talk about Christian McCaffrey too, and just his backups. Can you even name who his backups are off the top of your head?
Yeah, Reggie Bonifon, Jordan Scarlett. That's all I can think of.
Okay, and there's one more.
Is Alex Arma still on the team?
It's Mike Davis.
Oh, okay.
But like you say, like none of these guys are threats to Christian McCaffrey's workload. And even if McCaffrey was to go down, it would be a combination of those guys taking the lead there. So it wouldn't be an issue with McCaffrey coming back.
Matt Rhule has brought in Joe Brady, the architect of the best college offense I've ever seen in my entire life last year, one that made Clyde Edwards-Helaire into a first-round pick to the Kansas City Chiefs, but just mainly because of his work in the receiving game.
Yeah.
McCaffrey is safe. I mean, Byron is talking about how he thinks in the standard sheet that he's going to have Saquon Barkley at number one this year, and was asking me if I would even think about it in PPR. I was just like, absolutely not.
So, what is he basing that on?
I think he hates
being a contrarian.
He says people can listen back to that podcast. I think it was like number 248 or something. But he had some solid points. The one that was interesting to me was that he thinks that Teddy Bridgewater is a horrible screen game quarterback. He thinks that the volume will be brought down this year, and he just thinks that what's been done around Saquon Barkley is going to help him immensely. He thinks Saquon Barkley is going to have a monster bounce back, and he'd rather be ahead of it.
Fair enough. I'll have to look into that. I'll have to look and see what Teddy Bridgewater did with Alvin Kamara.
We have a couple questions here. People are asking about Josh Jacobs. Are you going to talk about him and whether or not he's, I don't think he's safe.
He wasn't one of my safe.
Juarez, your problem. Oh, I think this is probably the same Juarez, your problem from over on OB. Is DeAndre Swift now a threat to carry?
As soon as they called his name.
Yeah, he was a threat before the the commissioner even got the D out of that. He just said, the minute he said Dion, that minute carry on was absolute toast. Yes, it's a giant threat. But do you know what? Kerryon Johnson's a threat to DeAndre Swift for fantasy. They're all threats. Yeah. I mean, Matt Patricia's a fucking threat to all these assholes.
Kenny Galladay, although Kenny Galladay might be the safest wide receiver in the league.
That's not true at all.
League leader in touchdowns last season with Matt Stafford only playing 8 games. Can you imagine if Matt Stafford plays a whole season with Kenny Galladay at this point?
I would rather.
Galladay's as safe as they come.
For their prices, I would rather have Marvin Jones just a whole
lot
later. Hold on.
Seriously?
Yes. Well, hold on. Let's see. The receiving touchdowns what are we looking at there? Galladay really had I forgot he had 11 touchdowns on only 116 targets too.
That's
interesting. Diggs better or worse in Buffalo, trash man? Hepatitis D asks. The answer is much worse.
I don't think it's going to be as good, but I don't think it's going to be much worse.
Samir Ahmad asks, are you lower on Miles Sanders now with the Brooks? He means Brandon Brooks, key offensive line injury. Any lower on Miles Sanders? What do you think?
Miles Sanders can make his own. He can create his own yards.
I think that. Miles Sanders is just such a fascinating topic, Trash Man, because, I mean, Siege was telling me that in these FFPC drafts, I have not seen it in any of the best balls I've done, but he's talking about these FFPC drafts, Miles Sanders going at like number 4 and number 5 and number 6. That's how we got into the Miles Sanders versus Zeke talk, where he just
– I mean, people are just seeing that he doesn't really have competition in the backfield. They didn't add anybody to the backfield yet.
I get it. I get it. I think that somebody will get added, though, at some point. They've been fervently committed to a committee there under Peterson. And he was at 15.8 touches per game last year. I think a modest bump up probably should be expected. 18 touches or something out of Miles Sanders, I like it. Now, is that something that you're going to be wanting to go to the upper reaches of the first round to go up and acquire in some kind of contrarian fashion? I'm not sure that I am. I love Miles Sanders. I thought he was great. I definitely think he's the Eagles' answer in the NFC East to Saquon Barkley. Those two players are a lot alike, not even considering the fact that they both came from the same school and the same system, and they played very similar roles. I love Miles Sanders. I think that
– I mean, if you're saying that Saquon Barkley is arguably the number one running back – in the Giants offense, and the Eagles have a better offense than the Giants do.
Look what Samir Ahmad is saying. I mean, Samir, Doug Peterson used to say that Ryan fucking Matthews is ready for a full workload. It does not matter what Doug Peterson says about the use of his running backs. You're gonna save yourself a lot of misery and anger and cold nights in the shower, just crying tears of pain. Just quit listening to what Doug Peterson says about how he's going to use his running backs. I'm telling you, Samir, you're going to be curled up in the shower. You're going to be crying.
Predict Odell's numbers this year. Well, there's one more question. Predict Odell's numbers this year after a disappointing 2019.
Well, his numbers just for fantasy points per game or just his overall numbers?
Let's look. 2019, he had over 1,000 yards, yeah. 4 touchdowns.
He's gonna catch
1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns.
He's gonna catch 20 more balls. He's going to so it could be like 95 catches. He'll go for 95. For
95 catches, that would be the third highest number of catches in his career.
Yeah, he's going to have a big monster season. He'll have as many catches. All right, let's say 90 then. 90. Between 90 and 95 catches. Between
5 touchdowns.
I should just get the projections pulled up.
Five touchdowns.
I'll say between 1,100 and 1,300 yards, and I'll say – Think Austin Hooper being there hurts his touchdown upside? I'll say 7 touchdowns.
That would be the most he's had in the past 3 years, 4 years.
He's Odell Beckham. He's coming into his prime.
Okay. He may be coming into his prime, but Baker Mayfield, I don't think he's the answer. I really don't.
Samir Ahmad is sad about having those shower tears. Number of games.
I like a cold shower. Wakes you up.
I don't know. Look, man, I don't think that they're going to be as dysfunctional this year. I think that the running game is going to get going this year. And I think that as counterintuitive as it seems with the Vikings being as run heavy as they were last year.
So you think Kareem Hunt playing at the wide receiver position now this year is going to increase Odell Beckham's chances of having a blow up year?
Yes. How are you going to stop all these guys, Trash Man? How are you going to stop them all?
I'm just saying he's not going to have the amount of opportunity that you think he's going to.
Why would you not take Odell Beckham at the 3-4 turn in fantasy football in a PPR league, Trash Man? Why would you not do that every day that you possibly could?
Because I could take Jarvis Landry 5 rounds later.
Okay. Look, man, I'm not going to get into this whole thing with Jarvis versus Odell Beckham with you. It's a trashy discussion. Safest running backs.
Trashy but true. Okay. Zeke is my next safest running back. He's safe. Only missed. Well, if you don't count the season where, you know, he had the holdout, he's only missed. We only missed one game in 2018. Only missed one in 2016.
You don't have to tell people why Zeke is safe. He probably has the best touch floor from a rushing perspective in the whole league, unless you're Siege. You think Tony Pollard's going to?
Well, I was going over those parameters I was talking about though. His injury history, his history of missed games, his usage, and then his backup. His backup's Tony Pollard, and Tony Pollard is decent. But
you're going to set fantasy Twitter on fire by saying he's just decent. Everybody thinks that he's the second coming to O.J. Simpson.
I guess
I didn't mean to say like the second coming of Walter Payton. Sorry,
that's a loaded statement. All right, after Zeke, it's Joe Mixon.
Safe, huh? Even you're not worried at all that he's going to hold out.
Joe Mixon.
That was something Siege talked about yesterday. He's a sneaky kind of holdout risk.
No, I'm not afraid of Joe Mixon holding out.
All right. Who
else do they have to pay there?
What?
Who else do they have to pay there?
I'm talking about Joe Mixon wants to get paid. Joe Mixon wants to get paid.
Right. I'm saying the Bengals have money, and I think they're willing to spend it.
The Bengals – hold on. Did you just say something that I've never heard in the same sentence? Bengals, money, and willing to spend? Never heard those things. Never heard those things all put together, strung together in one same sentence. It's like – I don't know. I mean, I like Mixon too. I'm getting him in a ton of these drafts. I was just wondering if you took that into consideration. I think that kind of makes him a little bit risky. Rookie quarterback
who's going to need all the safety blankets he's getting. Rookie quarterback who's probably going to start from week one. That running game is going to be as important as ever.
Samir Ahmad must have missed the beginning of the show because he's asking his Pollard to must handcuff for Zeke in that offense given COVID uncertainties. That's the thing about Zeke. There aren't going to be any COVID uncertainties. I don't think, you know, Zeke has the coronavirus. He's gonna I don't think he's going to catch it again. So Mixon.
I mean, I guess my point being the Bengals haven't. Well, and AJ. And AJ, I mean, that was a lost season with AJ Green.
Okay. No, I mean, I get it. But the Bengals are cheap. Joe Mixon's going to want to get paid like he's a top five back. I've heard his agent talk about this. His agent was a guest on Mike Florio's podcast.
Hey, Bill Belichick thinks he's the best back in the league.
Bill Belichick, do you think – when's the last time you believe something that dude said at a press conference?
Most of the time. If he lies by omission.
Okay. He's still a liar.
Okay. I have two running backs left on my savings list. The next is Derrick Henry. He's only missed two games in 4 years. He is the Titans offense. And Darrington Evans is, for all intents and purposes, a complimentary back.
Yeah, but if Darrington Evans were to get the run, he would go big there for a while. It would remind you of Chase Edmonds last year whenever David Johnson went down before the Cardinals got Kenyon Drake in there. Darrington Evans would have that kind of little run for sure. But, hey, I agree. Derrick Henry is safe. I mean, that's a Derrick Henry off. It's funny. People have said – I wish I would have remembered who it was on Twitter who said it. But they said, you know, it's funny that people say that what the Titans need to do is just continue doing what they're doing and just, you know, build around the run and pound people. And somebody
formula
that it, they just, but somebody said that's so stupid. That literally isn't what they're doing. They're building around Derrick Henry. Yeah. It ain't about building around the run. It's about building around that dude. he's like a big, like robot. Like he's like Boston Dynamics built him and put him out there on the field with everybody else. And they're having to tackle this thing that's not even made of the same particles or has to abide by the same, the same laws of nature and physics that they physically do. It's a cheat code.
It is a cheat code. One guy, I have one more guy, and maybe this is probably my most controversial pick of my safest running backs, and it's Todd Gurley.
All right. Why is he the safest?
Todd Gurley, he's only – okay, so he's got these injury, and he actually hasn't missed that many games if you look at him over the past few years. What I really like about Gurley is that he's only scored fewer than double-digit touchdowns once in 5 years, and that was in 2016. Every other year, he has 10 touchdowns, 19 touchdowns, 21 touchdowns, and even 14 touchdowns last season. So even if he's maybe not quite the runner that he has been in the past, he's going to be used on the goal line, and he's really successful as a goal line runner. I mean, and he's got Brian Hill and Ito Smith behind him, and neither of those guys are the kind of goal line runner that Todd Gurley is.